Welcome to the podcast of the preaching ministry of Life Point Church. We pray this ministry is a blessing for your life. For more information about Life Point, please visit lifepointozark.com.
We're glad you're here. And I've learned a proverb along the way. It's not in the Bible, but it is a truism. If mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. Amen? So true. Well, as we talk about mothers, we would first confess it's not easy raising children. It's not for the faint of heart. Sometimes it's downright difficult. But I will tell you, it doesn't end when they leave home. And we would be examples of that, having not only children, but grandchildren, and now a great-grandchild. But they're always connected. So this morning I've chosen a familiar passage of Scripture from the wisdom literature, the book of Proverbs, actually the last chapter in the book of Proverbs, and it's written by King Lemuel. We know little about him. Matter of fact, the only times he's mentioned in the Bible are in the two verses here leading into this proverb. But he writes things that his mother taught him, wise truths. Verse 10, he begins to praise her, a virtuous woman, a woman of noble character. And I believe there's some timeless truths, some application today that will be beneficial for all of us to hear. Begin reading in verse 10 of Proverbs 31. Who can find a virtuous and capable woman? She's more precious than rubies. Her husband can trust her, and she will greatly enrich his life. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She finds wool and flax and busily spins it. She is like a merchant ship bringing her food from afar. She gets up before dawn to prepare breakfast for her household and plan the day's work for her servant girls. She goes to inspect a field and buys it. In her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She's energetic and strong, a hard worker. She makes sure her dealings are profitable. Her lamp burns bright or late into the night. Her hands are busy spinning thread, her fingers twisting fiber. She extends a helping hand to the poor. She opens her arm to the needy. She has no fear of winter for her household. Everyone has warm clothes. She makes her own bedspreads. She dresses in fine linen and purple gowns. Her husband's well known in the city gates, and he sits there with other civic leaders. She makes a belted garments and sashes to sell to the merchants. She's clothed with strength and dignity, and she laughs without fear of the future. When she speaks, her words are wise, and she gives instruction with kindness. She carefully watches everything in her household and suffers nothing from laziness. Her children stand and bless her. Her children praises her. There are many virtuous and capable women in the world, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty doesn't last, but a woman who fears the Lord will be greatly praised. Reward her for all that she has done. Let her deeds publicly declare her praise. Would you join me in prayer? Father, we look at this scripture today that reminds us of what a woman can do. And I know in this congregation today, there's many gifted women. And while not doing all of these things, they do a lot of these things. And they've shown themselves willing and loving and kind. They've been the rock of the household oftentimes that's kept the family together. And so, Lord, we would want to recognize them this Mother's Day and appreciate the influence they've had and continue to have in all of their children's life. So help us to be all we should be. And we as men have responsibilities. And even as we have modeled here in this virtuous woman text, about a husband that's a man of virtue, and he also walks in goodness and righteousness, and he gives a praise that's worthy of this lady. And I pray that we'd be found doing the same thing. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. All right, here's what I'd like to do. There's four virtues contained in this text about this lady of renown. And let me say first, as I lead in, I had a mother, and I also a mother-in-law that were awesome. They love me well. And so to speak about the virtues of motherhood, I've had great influence from my mother and my mother-in-law, but also my wife who is here today. She's an incredible mother and grandmother. She reminds me a lot of these qualities here. This is not about Mary, though. It's about you. And I pray that you would find some encouragement and blessing today. Mary's kind of been the matriarch of our family. She loves her children well and her grandchildren well. She's always got a kind and sweet spirit, and love overflows from her life. It's been a little easier with the grandkids, I'll say that. Wish we'd have had them first. Now we've got a great grandchild. We thought the grandkids were awesome. We got a great grandchild. This kid is to die for. Four things. First, I want to talk about what the text talks about. First, we need to be a trustworthy wife. So really answering a rhetorical question that this chapter began with, he asks, who can find a virtuous, who can find a capable woman? And then he says, well, I can. And then he begins to talk about his mother. She's invaluable. Her husband can trust her. But more than trust her, she's enriching his life. She's his helpmate for all of life. You know, in Genesis chapter 2, when God created woman, he took woman from man's side. From the rib of Adam, Eve was created. It is interesting, he didn't take woman from man's feet, lest he would trample over her. He didn't take Eve from man's head, lest he would rule over her, but he took woman from man's side, that she would be his equal, and from close to his heart, that he would love and cherish her. This virtuous woman is enriching the life of her husband. She's helping him along the way. Have you ever heard of the looking glass theory? It's a study in sociology, but here's what it means. We come to believe about ourselves what the most important person in our life says about us. You understand what I'm saying? We come to believe about ourselves what the most important person in our life says about us. Now, I will tell you, I grew up with a pretty good self-image because my mom was over the top encouraging me. She thought I was the best athlete. She thought I was the smartest in the class. She thought I could do everything well, which none of the above is true. But I will tell you this, it built a confidence and self-worth, and her praise helped me tremendously. I married the woman of my dreams that's here today. She has been that kind of woman. She's encouraged me. She's blessed me. She's helped me. I'm telling you, I wouldn't be here today without her. I couldn't have got a heart transplant unless I had someone who could help me along the way. I can't praise her enough. You know, we live in a postmodern world, and even the family structure has almost been reinvented. You watch a television sitcom. First off, the kids are smarter than the parents. The mom knows a lot more than dad. The dad's a doofus. He can't even take care of himself. And if they got a dog, he's the brains of the family. It's what we live in. You know what I long for? Father knows best. Where is old Robert Young? He used to lead well, have all the answers. But this is a day about honoring moms. And the first plank of a virtuous woman is they're trustworthy. You know, I believe the Bible teaches with clarity the responsibility of men and women. The marriage is a first, it's what we call complementarianism. That man is called to lead his family and lead them well. The wife submitting to his authority, which not has anything to do with inferiority, but it does have about equality with different roles. The man has a masculine responsibility, and a woman has a feminine responsibility. And remember, when God created Eve, Adam would say, she's bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she's taken out of man. But I can see a drift. Not only in life in the public square, but sometimes in church life. The move from complementarianism to egalitarianism, which is a philosophy that men and women are the same. There's no difference in men and women. And when you arrive at that, then you have what we have today, and we've got transvestite men competing in women's sports because they're like, we're the same. They're not the same. God created man, he created woman. The Bible clearly teaches that, as the church does, the men are the leaders in the church just like they are in the family. We have elders that are men. We have deacons who are men. I don't know. Do we have deacons? If we did, they would be men. I'm just saying, It's not because the men are better than women, but that's how God placed it. In the family, wouldn't it be any different in the church? Of course it'd be the same. Here's what I'm saying today. Men, let's be the best men we can be. And women, you be the best woman you can be. And I will tell you, as the Bible teaches, if we will love our wives the way Christ loved the church and gave himself for the church, what kind of woman doesn't want to submit to that? Let's make it easier. Let's love them well. Let's serve our wives because we love them. Trustworthy wives. Secondly, she's a treasured mother. She's respected. She's loved by her children. They stand up and give testimony about her. They rise up and call her blessed. And her husband lavishes praise upon her. Four things I see here in this treasured mother. First, she's a woman of faith. It says she fears the Lord. She has a holy reverence for God. She's virtuous because that's where it begins, in reverence for God. God has shaped her life, changed her life. Only eternity will reveal how important a mother's faith has been on her children and on her grandchildren and in her extended family and in the friends that she encounters. I would say today, most of us in this room have been influenced greatly by our mother's faith. I think of Timothy, you remember? Apostle Paul's, that Apostle Paul mentored, it says in 1 Timothy 1 about who raised you, your mother Eunice and your grandmother Lois. You're shaped spiritually, Paul says, because these women spoke into your life and helped you arrive at where you're at. She's a woman of faith. Secondly, she's a woman who loves her family. This woman's super busy, daylight to dark. Actually, she's working into the night. She's a go-getter. I had a guy tell me one time, he was a go-getter. I said, what do you mean? He says, I take my wife to work and I go get her. Not the case here. It says she burns the midnight oil. And then before dawn, she's up fixing breakfast for her household. Come on. You know, a lot of mothers work outside the home. My wife worked, my mother worked, but both balancing their life, Mary's made time for her family regardless of her schedule. And she didn't go to dental school until she was 36 years old. Our kids were getting bigger and they've got a lot of activities. She managed it. She'd go to school. She had to be at the University of Oklahoma Dental School at 8 a.m. in the morning. 5 days a week, she's driving over there, needing to stay up till 11 at night to study and prepare for the next day. But she carved out time in there to be with the boys. One of the things I remember, of course, our boys are older, and this was even before homeschooling had been thought of. The truant officer would get you back in my day. If you didn't go to school and you're going to do school at home, they'd say, you're doing what? Anyhow, she bought a SRA reading laboratory kit. That's what we used to learn to read back in the day, SRA. She taught both of those boys to read before they ever went to school. Why? Because she made time for them. And she led them not only academically and spiritually, but peacefully. They love their mother as well they should. In all honesty, she burned the midnight oil. That's what's talking about here. Now, she did not always get up to fix breakfast for us, but she's been known to leave out a Pop-Tart every now and then on her way out the door. It was not quite the same, but it was at least thinking of it. Not only faith and family, you know what says verse 25? She laughed at the future to come. She laughed. No fear of the future for her. Can I tell you, every home needs laughter. Every home needs joy. I pray that you have that kind of home. It's healthy. It builds security in the kids if we're having some fun at home and everything's not always serious. You know, I've told you this probably. I married Mary for a couple of reasons. One, she's pretty as she can be. Sweet and all that kind of stuff. But I'll tell you something else that really was a factor. She laughed at my jokes, you know? I don't think everything I said, not everything I say is funny, but she makes me feel good about all the bad jokes I tell. That's a virtuous woman, isn't it? Well, we need to laugh sometimes. That's what this woman's doing. Let me talk fourthly, though. Faith, family, fun. She's frugal. That's what it says here. The virtuous woman was a coupon cutter. That doesn't say that in my Bible, but someone said it did in the message. But here's what I am saying. She loved a bargain. Verse 18, she says in the NLT, she makes sure her dealings are profitable. She's making her clothes. She's selling some to merchants. She's handling the finances well in the house. I would suggest, even before Dave Ramsey existed, Financial Peace University, she could have started that thing. Now, Mary likes to shop. I don't like to shop. See, it's a different deal. I'm on a mission to get something. She finds joy in finding a bargain. She defaults to where the markdowns are, which is a good thing. However, let me tell you what she loves most is when she finds a good bargain. And she comes home and said, look what I got for half of half. I said, well, God bless you, honey. Actually, this is a good story. Mary, she sewed when we first got married, had a sewing machine. Was that your grandma's sewing machine? Or did she, huh? Grandma bought it for us. Okay. Anyhow, we had a sewing machine. We were going to children's camp when the boys were in grade school, and you couldn't wear long pants. I mean, you couldn't wear short pants. You had to have pants that came down below your knee. This was a conservative camp. Actually, it's Falls Creek Baptist camp, but that's the rules back then. So Mary went and bought some fabric, and did the boys go with you, or did you just pick the stuff out? They went with you, okay. They come back with, like, they got flowers, and they got bold stripes, and I'm telling you, you could see them coming from a mile. She makes these shorts, kind of pull-up shorts, with elastic around just below the knee, and they warm at Falls Creek every day. It's about 104 down there every day. You can imagine how rank those things were. But at the end of the week, you know what they were calling the Dighton boys? Pajama brothers. Here comes the pajama brothers. And it did look a lot like that. That's a woman of virtue right there. Here's a treasured mother. She's a woman of faith. She loves her family well. She enjoys some fun. And she's being frugal. Number three, she's a tireless laborer. You know, whoever said a woman's work is never done knew exactly what they're talking about. She's taking care of her husband. She's finding wool and flax and spinning it. Buying imported food, she's purchasing real estate, and while she's there, she decides to buy a vineyard. Verse 17 is kind of a summary statement. It says she's energetic and strong. She's a hard worker as she works with her hands. And oh yeah, she quilts her own bedspread as well. And then, of course, the summary statement, she does not have to worry about the consequence of laziness. Well, I guess not. You know, reading all of this, it seems a little bit of a hyperbole. I mean, this lady is getting a lot done. She's redeeming the time. We're told to redeem the time. We would do well to redeem the time. Buy back the time. These days are evil. Do right things, good things, virtuous things. Be productive. Let me just add a personal word in that. Busyness is not a virtue in itself. Just because you're busy doesn't mean that's a good thing. If you're spending your time on things that is not virtuous, is not right, if you're living your life without some established priorities and some guidelines where you can lean into the Word of God and see what's good and best and right, I tell you, going for God's the best. Loving your family well. Being a part of the church. Let's live our lives like that. Oh, ladies, let me tell you, feed your soul with the Word of God. Put it into practice. Practice things that matter. Live your faith. Well, fourthly, not only trustworthy wife, treasured mother, tireless laborer, She had a thoughtful presence about her. Verse 20, she extends her hand to the poor. She opens her heart to the needy. She finds the indigent, the widow, the needy, because her love will not overlook the least of these. What did Jesus teach us? As much as you've done this to the least of these, you've done it unto me. She did it, and she was driven by love for God. Thoughtful presence about her life. She didn't think more highly of herself than she ought to think. She didn't come home and brag about it. Wasn't she as full of hubris? She just cared. Oh, God. Nothing more is important than your care and love for others. This girl's quite a gal. These virtues are envious, maybe a bit unrealistic. So I kind of distilled it down in application. Here's what I'm asking you to do, ladies, today. Love your husband well. Love him. It's right to build security in your kids. I'll tell you, nothing you can do better for your kids than to love your wife well, and men to love, for each other to love each other well, husbands and wife. It does build security. Mom and dad get along, guess what? Those kids usually turn out pretty dang good. Show what marriage looks like. Make them desire to be married and marry the right person of what God can do in a marriage. There's a lot of dysfunction in marriages. Every time, almost without exception, the kids are restless and they want to get out of home as soon as possible. But I'm telling you, demonstrate the love for each other, and it's the right thing. Love your wife, men. Wives, you love your husband. Secondly, you've got to grow in your faith. You've got to mature in your spiritual life. You've got to seek the Lord while he may be found. And God will help you grow in your faith. Love God's word. Love God. Walk in his ways. You see, it's our instruction manual for life. You can't do it if you don't know what it says. How shall a young lady cleanse her way? By taking heed thereto into thy word. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against God. Grow in your faith. Surround yourself with others who will help you grow in your faith. Find the right person. Get in a small group Bible study of couples and grow as God places you there. And then the third thing, make your house a peaceful place to be. Make it peaceful. Be hospitable. Kids would come to our house, sometimes spend the night, hang out. You know why? It's a peaceful place. We were trying to be the right thing. We wanted to practice hospitality. We opened our home to countless others. We had missionaries from Sudan, Russia, Romania, Germany, come and stay extended times with us. Why? They could find a place of rest. And we wanted to be hospitable. Look, ladies, you lead the way. By nature, men are not that hospitable. But you ought to be. I'll tell you a quick story. My grandparents, who were the Dightons, they lived in a little house. Couldn't have been 500 square feet, 600 maybe, by the railroad tracks over on West 12th in our hometown. They had one bedroom house. There was an interim pastor who came to be their preacher because their preacher had left. And he took the train about 45 miles to get to Ada. Since they had no accommodations, they invited him over. You know what they did? They gave him their bedroom, and they slept under the kitchen table every weekend while he came to stay. I tell that story because that's what hospitality looks like. Caring for others, serving others. Let's open our homes. Let's win people to the kingdom because we can show them what's good and right and virtuous. Let's live our lives for the glory of our God. Would you bow your heads with me?